Father, we thank you, Lord, for your great power, your great strength, Lord, that we can lean into, that we can trust in our lives when we face challenges, when we face temptation, when we face weakness, Lord, to know that joy, Lord, that we don't have to rely on our own strength. We can rely on you. We thank you for your presence with us this morning. And we just pray that, Lord, in this message this morning, Lord, that you would strengthen me, Lord, because I'm feeling more of that weakness today. And yet I just pray that today, Lord, that your word, Lord, would come forth for each of us, that our hearts and our minds would be open to hear from you. Lord, that we might give our lives to your kingdom, to follow Christ, to embrace him fully. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This time, children can be dismissed to Children's Church if they've not already headed out. And if you want to turn, we're going to be in Matthew 13, 44 through 46. Just a word about where we're at in the series, as well as where we're going. Today is the last of the series through the parables. There are a couple that we didn't hit, but we hit the key ones through Matthew 13 as we kind of our series within the series as we've continued to work through the Gospel of Matthew. But next week, hard to believe, is actually the first Sunday of Advent, moving into the Christmas season. So next week we're going to start our Christmas series, our Advent series. There is an insert in the bulletin. That is not just for you. That is something for you to give to a friend. If you have a friend or family member, a coworker that's not connected to a church, we encourage you to invite them. I'm excited about the Christmas series this year. Some of you know the Skit Guys. We've used some of their videos before, but they actually have provided some resources that are going to be helping us. You're actually going to see through video a little bit of a monologue from each of the characters that are represented. Very well done. Really brings out kind of the human aspect of what it must have been like for Elizabeth, Joseph, the innkeeper, and each of these individuals that we've featured in the series. We're really going to be focusing on just unpacking the message that we can see by focusing on the Christmas story through their eyes. So we definitely just encourage you to not only come out, be a part of that, but also want to encourage you to make the effort to invite someone through this Christmas series. To start today, I need two volunteers. I need a show of hands. I need at least two, and a teenager would be fine, one of our older elementary age kids as well. Brad is trying to nominate his daughter. I'm not going to do that to her, Brad. But Natalie, are you volunteering? Okay, go ahead. I need one other. Okay. Landon. Sorry, I think Landon. Okay, you don't want it? Okay, come on. Okay, come on up here. I can get more props. If you see me hiding stuff under the pulpit, you know there's object lesson day, but... Okay, this week, what is Thursday, you guys? What holiday are we celebrating Thursday? It's not
Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving, okay. You know, as we think about Thanksgiving, I think this kind of relates to a little bit of this illustration, but, you know, God blesses us with many things, and we intentionally pause on that day to thank God. And I'm going to have each of these little chocolate mini Hershey bars represent God's blessings. So what are some of the things that God blesses us with? Family, okay.
House.
Yeah, they're answering quickly now. a house, shelter. Any other things God blesses us with?
Education.
What is it?
Friends.
Okay, friends. I can't go too much or it'll defeat the purpose of the illustration. But if you think of that, I mean, God blesses us with so many things. We got our family. We've got our friends. He blesses us with shelter. I know those that are getting ready to go to the Dominican in January, when I went a few years ago, that was the thing that was so shocking. I had never seen poverty like I saw when I going into one of the Haitian villages and seeing the shelter or what they called home. It was a very humbling. And realize that no matter what God has provided for you in an apartment, in a home, it's most likely better than many people in many parts of the world today that God blesses us with. You know, God also blesses us with gifts and abilities to be used by him. And all these things that you hold are those things that we hold on to as blessings. And then we come to hear the gospel and what Christ calls us to, and he calls us to surrender our lives, to lay down our lives that we can receive his kingdom, that we have to lose our life for his sake that we might truly gain it. And today we're going to be looking at two stories that really highlight this. And so I want to give you the opportunity. You each have two small miniature Hershey bars to represent the gifts that God has given you. The gift of health, the gift of your talents, your abilities, your family, your shelter. And I just want to tell you that if you're willing to give me everything that you have, I have something for you. You open for that deal? You really trust me, don't you? Okay. Landon's kind of hesitating. Pretend you don't. Not sure. You're confident. They must trust me. So they trust me that I have something better for them. But what if I pulled out an apple? Would that have been something you'd have been excited about? Or you want the two Hershey bar? Okay, you're okay with apple? Okay. I want you to pause for a moment. Just think about that moment. Because I think that illustration of, you know what you have in your hand. You know what you already know. You know the gifts you have. You know the blessings that you have. And then when God calls us to sell everything we have, to lay down everything that we have that we might receive him, there's a little bit of thought going through our mind of, is this worth the exchange? And I think the parables that we're going to look at today emphasize the fact that we are all winners in the deal when it comes to surrendering our lives to receive Christ and his kingdom. None of us lose. And so, in exchange, if you're willing to exchange what you have, okay, we've got something a little bigger here. Okay, willing exchange. There you go. Good job, you guys. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, there, kids, there's more chocolate here. Any adults I see sneaking in here, shame on you. Okay. You know, the two parables today that we're going to look at really are the two very short parables. I think they're the shortest of all the parables that Jesus tells. And yet, they really give us a picture of what happens in that exchange, where we come to Christ, we come to the kingdom, which the kingdom, again, is not only receiving Christ, and Jesus went around proclaiming the good news of the kingdom. As we, even back when we were in the early parts of Matthew, we saw that again and again, Jesus didn't just go out pronouncing the good news, but the good news was that God's kingdom had come. That God's kingdom had come to earth, and that idea of God's kingdom coming to earth is what we pray in the Lord's Prayer. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So there's a picture of God coming to reign in us, that we surrender our lives so that God can reign in us, and that's personally and as a church, as in the world. But it's also all the blessings and all the benefits of being a part of God's kingdom also come. And we experience a bit of that now. We experience salvation now, and yet we look forward to that future salvation. We believe in the alliance that we can experience God's blessings of healing now. Not always, but there are times where God still heals today, and we experience that blessing. But we look forward to a day that the sickness, death, and pain will be gone. We experience all those blessings in this life. We experience the blessing of what Christ called not only eternal life, but he promised the abundant life. He comes to live inside of us and to guide us and direct us, and we experience that great blessing. But, you know, as we do that, the kingdom, Jesus again and again in each of these parables is trying to unpack a picture of that kingdom. And today we're looking at a picture of what the heavens, the kingdom of heaven is like, and what actually takes place in this exchange when we give God what we have to receive the kingdom of heaven into our hearts and our lives. If you want to turn to Matthew 13, we're in verses 44 through 46. I apologize. I am not feeling at my best. The song this morning really blessed me because as I talk about God's strength, I rely on that on a day when I have to preach when I'm sick. And, you know, when it's amazing when we understand God's strength, even in those moments of our weakness, we have that blessing that he shows his strength in our weakness. So I trust that today. So if you're grossed out with Kleenex and other things, I apologize. Just try to focus on the message. Matthew 13, verse 44 through 46. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. And again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who on finding one pearl of great value went and sold all that he had and bought it. Just like some of the other messages we've done over the last few weeks, Jesus doesn't just tell one parable, one story, but he tells two to emphasize the same point. And as we started this series, we talked about the fact when Jesus told these parables, he focused on things that were just common to everyday life to illustrate truth. And it's not an allegory in the fact that every aspect of the story represents something. It's really each of those stories typically has one key thing that Jesus is communicating. And there's a consistent theme in both of these stories that Jesus is giving. The first of these, the parable of the hidden treasure. If you look at the next slide, when we see this picture, we read the story of a man who discovers a field where there is hidden treasure. Now, this is not a pirate thing, like there's an X on the spot. What would happen in the ancient world, they couldn't go down to PNC or Northwest. They would often trust their goods. If they were concerned about their goods, they would go and they'd find a spot where they could bury them and protect them. But what often would happen, someone might bury something and something might happen to that individual, or they forget where it was. And they forget that treasure is there. And so it wasn't totally uncommon for someone to find and discover treasure, coins, or whatever that treasure might be, hidden, buried in the ground. In the ancient world, the law was in favor of the person who found that thing. And yet, there would have been questions in this situation based on who owned the field. And so Jesus here is not encouraging deception, but he's emphasizing again the key point of when you discover something of great value, you're willing to get rid of everything you have, to sell everything you have that you might secure it. And the picture you have on the screen in front of you, it would be a bit like finding a piece of land that you find out has the mineral rights, and you know there's oil or there's natural gas, Marcellus shale, or something of great value in that land, and that really it's a picture of a bargain. That he paid for the value of the land, but received much more. He received this great treasure, and he realized everything that he had to sell, was worth much less than everything that he was going to gain in giving what he had to receive that field with the hidden treasure. And again, it would be, like an old man named Jed finding oil on his property. Jeff, I did not mean to look at you when I said old man named Jed. But sorry, I'll pay for that later. But That picture of finding that treasure, you know it's worth it. There's nothing in this story that paints a picture that it's not worth getting rid of everything we have to gain that which we cannot afford. Second story, we have here not someone that just accidentally stumbles upon this hidden treasure, but it's a merchant who is looking for fine pearls. And so that's the best picture I could find of a pearl. Okay? But the idea in this is that this is not someone, again, that just accidentally finds his treasure and then goes and sells what he has to gain it. Here's someone who's been looking for it. They've been seeking it. I love James Montgomery Boyce talks about how really that's a picture of how many times people come to God's kingdom and come to put their faith in Christ and receive the blessings of his kingdom in our hearts and our lives. Some people have been searching and they've been longing. And for some of you, God just got your attention one day. You discovered that joy. It wasn't a lifelong search. You just, God got your attention, whether it was through pain or tragedy or just something, he got your attention. It's like you found that treasure in the field and you realized, I need to sell what I have so that I might secure that. For this merchant, it's the person that's been longing. They've been searching. And they're willing to, they're longing after, they're longing for that pearl that would be greater of value than any other pearl. That pearl, again, is representative of that treasure. A treasure that's greater value. And the idea here is of the bargain, that no matter what we get rid of, no matter what we exchange, whether it's two chocolate bars for that great large chocolate bar, I'm wondering what the people at Thorne's were wondering when I was running around the store this morning trying to find chocolate. But That picture, it gives us the picture of the exchange that takes place when we come to Christ and realize Christ calls us to lay down our lives that we might receive him. He calls us to lay down all that we have that we might receive him and his kingdom into our hearts and our lives. The reality is we find a treasure of great value, and that is the key theme in this passage, is that both people, the person who accidentally finds the treasure or the person who finds that pearl of great value, they find something that's of greater worth than anything they already possess, and they're willing to let go of everything they possess that they might secure it, that they might gain it. If you look in the next slide, or actually we're right there, you're right on target. The reality in this story, both of these stories, both men find a treasure of greater value than anything they already possess. Matthew 6:21, what we looked at probably about a year ago, Jesus said, when he talked about this idea of treasure, he says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The things that we treasure captivate our heart. They captivate our attention. The things that we treasure captivate us, and we give our lives to it. And I know if you talk to Jana, some of the things I like that she doesn't, it's not a big deal for her. I love technology. I'm a tech geek. And so I can get obsessed over technology. I know there's some of you here that share that love for technology, and yet no matter what it is that I might find of value, nothing that I would go out and pursue is of a greater treasure than what God wants to offer me. And what I find in my life is there might be times where I have a longing, a desire for something, that new piece of technology, that new toy, and realize that God is desiring for him, for Christ himself, to be my greatest treasure, not that thing. Some of you, it may not be technology. It might be a new bow. It might be a new gun. It might be some new car or something. It might be a new relationship. It might be something, some other blessing that you're looking for, and you're longing for that thing, and that really is the thing that you're holding on to, and it's become your treasure. It's the thing that you're seeking. And yet God wants us to examine our hearts and ask ourselves, what do we really treasure? The reality is that we can treasure things that in and of themselves are not good or bad. We can treasure things that are not necessarily good or bad, but if it becomes our treasure, if it becomes something that we hold on to in our heart is of greater value than pursuing God in our lives, we've allowed our treasure to become something less. In both of these stories, we see men that discover a greater treasure, and they're willing to sell all that they have. Next slide. I want us to think as we kind of wrap this up today and as we continue to reflect on that idea of discovering the treasure that God has for us. The reality is that God is giving us a great blessing. And remember, Jesus came announcing not just the good news. He came announcing the good news of the kingdom of God. And again, that's not only a picture of God coming to reign in us, but it's the idea of experiencing all of God's blessings and all of the benefits of being a citizen in God's kingdom, that we can experience that blessing now. We know when we read through John and the rest of the Gospels, we know that Jesus not only promised eternal life, he promised an abundant life. He promised eternal life that we know our hope and our future is secure in Christ, but we also know that Jesus desires to come to fill us with his very presence, and that we can experience life to the full, the life that we were designed to experience. I love John 6:35. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. Too often I think people approach spiritual things as like an add-on in their life and forget the fact that God's desire is to meet the deepest thirst and deepest longings, deepest needs of our lives. God doesn't desire just to be an add-on. God wants us. If you have deep longings in your heart and deep longings in your life, the reality is you need to be in touch with that to know what is God leading you to. What is God doing in your heart? What is he doing in your life? Jesus is saying very basic, I am the bread of life. He's getting that basic need, that if you really want to understand the core of what it means to follow Christ and to trust him, realizing he is everything that we need. the very bread of life. He says, whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. Remember the woman at the well? Jesus promises water to drink, and the woman at the well says, look, you don't even have anything to draw from the well. And Jesus goes on to promise her water that would quench her thirst to where she would never have to come back to the well again. Jesus gives us that promise of him meeting those deepest needs in our heart and life because he is the bread of life. He gives us the ability to have our thirst and our longings met in him. You know, one of the things I greatly appreciate about C.S. Lewis was C.S. Lewis wrote a lot about those longings, and he didn't just deal with intellectual faith. He dealt with a lot of those longings in our hearts, and Lewis actually described the fact that when we have longings in our hearts for God, when there's a longing in our heart for God and something outside of this world, that's actually evidence of the need for that, or that's evidence that there is a God, that there is something eternal, because that longing in our heart that can't be met by anything else. That when we understand that longing that we have for something deeper, something of more meaning, something of more significance, something eternal, that is evidence that we were created, as in Ecclesiastes would say, we're created with destiny within our hearts. That God is already working in us and through us. C.S. Lewis understood that, and I believe when we really understand that God desires to meet those deepest needs of our heart and our life, we realize that God wants us to experience life to the full. Pascal said, and this is often attributed to unknown writers, but I believe it is Pascal that wrote that every one of us has a God-shaped hole in our hearts and our lives. A God-shaped hole that only God can meet. And we have to come to that place that we recognize not only the need, but recognize the fact that only God can meet that need in our heart and our lives. One day, Jesus was confronted by a rich young ruler. Many of you may know the story in Matthew 19. But in the story, this man comes and he's this close. He knows the truth, and he comes asking how he might inherit eternal life, and Jesus has this conversation with him and tells him the things that he must do, but then he looks this man in the eye and says, "But you need to go and sell everything that you own, and then come and follow me." Jesus understood that the thing that this man possessed that he wasn't willing to let go of was his riches. And he wasn't willing to let go of that. For some of you, it may not be riches. It may be something else that you're holding on to that you're not willing to let go of. And Jesus looks at that and he sees the things that we hold on to that are preventing us from receiving Christ and his kingdom in our hearts and our lives. I love the fact after the account, Peter, as a spokesman of the disciples, says, "Well, Jesus, look, we've left everything. We've left everything to follow you." And Jesus, instead of a rebuke, looks at the disciples and says, in verse 29, "And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or lands for my name's sake will receive 100-fold and will inherit eternal life." Jesus is basically reminding them, you know, everything you left, there's so much more to be inherited. There's so much more that Christ has for those disciples that left their nets, that left their father, that left their mother, left everything that they knew that they might follow after Christ. In this story, in the first, we see that not only does he go out and sell, but it says in the critical phrase, he says, in his joy, he went and sold everything that he had that he might secure this piece of property that has the treasure hidden within it. And I want you to think about that. How many of you think about the things that you possess most dearly, the things that you hold on to that you do treasure? In joy, could you let those things go? In joy, could you let those things go and sell all that you have? When we look at this story, we see that there's no hesitation. There's no hesitation in selling all that he has to secure the treasure, because there's joy because he knows that the treasure is worth greater than anything he must sacrifice. You know, I think too often we focus on what we give up rather than what we gain. Sometimes I think when we talk, and I'm speaking specifically to you, those of you that have been following after Christ, and there may be times in your life that you feel like you're getting the raw end of the bargain, that somehow you're giving your life to follow after God, and somehow you feel like God's let you down. The reality is nothing that we give up, nothing that we give up will be greater than the reward of following after Christ. The reality is when we give up those things that are really important to us, our family, our time, our talents, and all those blessings that God has given us, we not only receive the promise of eternal life, we not only receive Christ living inside of us and giving us the experience of God's kingdom, but God transforms all those things that we put into his hands. Our relationships, those things that are important to us, those things that we let go of, God gives those back so much better than they were when we let go of them to him. But I want to encourage you to think about that. Is it possible that today you're focusing on what you're giving up for God rather than focusing on the treasure, rather than focusing on what you have to gain and giving your life fully to him? I want to focus on some scriptures that I think speak to this pursuing God's treasure. Great passage in Philippians 3, verses 7 through 9. The Apostle Paul writes, "But whatever gain I had, I counted a loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish or garbage, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith." Look at those words I highlighted in verse 8. "I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord." That Paul, he's talking about his experience, he's talking about his reputation, he's talking about his spiritual resume, and saying that no matter what good he has, no matter what bad he had, no matter what in his life he held on to, he considered everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ. When I ask you, are there things you're holding on to that are preventing you from really embracing Christ and the treasure of his kingdom? Are there things you're holding on to that are preventing you from experiencing the true value of Christ in your life? Another passage, Matthew 16, verse 25 through 26. "For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? And what shall a man give in return for his soul?" Jesus very clearly gives us a picture that true discipleship is a life that we surrender all, that we might truly receive God and his blessings in our life. That when we lose our life, that's actually when we find the life that God created us to experience. The Apostle Paul, in standing in Ephesus in Acts 20:24, he's giving a defense to his life and his ministry. He says in verse 24, "But I do not account my life of any value, nor as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course in the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God." I do not account my life to of any value, nor as precious to myself. But he wants to finish the course, the ministry that God has called him to. He just wants to do what God has called him to do, and he's willing to risk his life. And we know those weren't just words for Paul. Paul risked his life repeatedly. Paul was physically stoned and almost to the point of death because of his commitment to follow Christ and to do the work that God had called him to do. But he understood that it was worth it. A quote that's meant a lot to me that many of you know as well. Jim Elliot was one of five missionaries who gave their life to go to the Aka Indians in Ecuador and laid down their life as a martyr to reach that very tribe. If you get a chance, read the book Through Gates of Splendor. There actually a recent movie, and about five years ago, there was a movie telling the story. But some of the very family members of Jim Elliot actually went back to this tribe. Actually went back to this tribe, and that tribe came, in a large group, came to faith in Christ. I want to think for a moment. Did Jim Elliot, in the moment of his death, choose to lay down his life to gain that which he could not lose? In the moment of his death was not the moment that he made the choice to surrender his life. Jim Elliot made the choice when he was faithful to God's call in his life to go where God was calling. It's in that moment that he surrendered his life, no matter what the consequence, no matter what the call would cost him. He laid down his life, and he had that confidence that he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. God has so much more for each of us. And I suspect that if you've been finding your relationship with Christ wanting in some way, I suspect that there may be some places in your heart and in your life that you're holding on to that's preventing you from really receiving the full blessing of God's kingdom. That you're holding on to some of those things and that God just wants you to let go so that you can embrace him fully. So that Christ can come into your life and reign. And like the Apostle Paul, you can experience the joy of knowing that it's no longer you that lives, but it's Christ living in you. When I ask you, are you at that place that you're willing to surrender? And realize God is giving us far more than we could ever give up. God won't take it. God asks you to give, to surrender. To surrender your heart, to surrender your life, to surrender your family, to surrender all of who you are and all that you possess, that you might let Christ come and reign in you and through you. I want to encourage you, one last thought before we pray. Too often, I think we think about the Christian life as one time we make a decision to follow Christ and one time we have to surrender. And then we look back to that moment, that day that we prayed a prayer to surrender our life to follow Christ. The people that I know that demonstrate God's love and God's kingdom in powerful ways, the people that I look up to in my own life as the people that have been examples of faith to me, are the people that understand the importance of every day laying their life down before Christ. Not just once, but every day, that we surrender everything that we have, we surrender all that we have and all of what that we are, that we might receive Christ in his fullness in our life. What I ask you today is prepare to close in prayer and invite the musicians to come. That if you know that God does not have that place in your heart as your true treasure, if you know there are things in your heart and your life that you've been treasuring above God and Christ in your life, I just encourage you today that as the musicians come and as they lead us, that you would be willing to lay those things down. The altar is a picture of the cross. It's you can do this right where you sit, but you can also come to the front and lay those things down at the altar. It's a picture of coming before the cross and laying who we are, laying all that we have before Christ, that we might receive not only the hope of eternal life, receive the gift of forgiveness, but we can also receive Christ in our hearts and our lives, that we might know his fullness. Today, as we close in prayer and as musicians lead, if God has been speaking to you, I encourage you to come. Lay down those things. Let go of those things that you hold on to. And realize that it's the greatest deal, the greatest bargain you could ever experience, to lay down all of who we are to gain all that Christ has for us. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your great love for us. Lord, what an incredible truth, Lord, that you give us what we can't earn. We can't earn forgiveness. We can't earn eternal life. And yet you gave your son, Jesus, Lord, who died in our place. And you give us the free gift of eternal life when we come to you and lay down our lives to receive that gift. But Lord, you give us so much more. We just pray that today, Lord, that we would realize that you don't want us to go walking around as martyrs, Lord, that are miserable in some way because we feel like we've been shortchanged or that the sacrifices we make each day, Lord, that in some way that they're not worth that sacrifice. Lord, I just pray that today that we would see a greater picture of the treasure that you offer us. That you would move in our hearts and our lives, Lord, that we would see the treasure of your salvation. The treasure of Christ, of your presence coming to live inside of us and your spirit coming to empower us to live a life, Lord, that you described as an abundant and full life. Lord, help us to know that our deepest longings can only be met in you. And Lord, that anything we sacrifice, Lord, anything we sacrifice is of lesser value than all that you desire to give us. Lord, come speak to us now. Lord, may we each live lives of full surrender to you, Lord, that we might know the joy of your kingdom. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.